Tonight is our ritual on the radio. I know your time is valuable, and you honor me by listening. And that musical opening tonight comes to you by way of an artist called Damn Car, and the cut was called Son of the Widow. Well, with July 4th just barely behind us, tonight, our ritual on the radio, we're going to be exploring what it means to be free and liberated through the lens of the divine feminine. Have you freed yourself from shackles to live your authentic life? Do you recognize your chains, especially if you're a woman? Are you actively working to free yourself, or have you thrown away the keys to your ball and chain and are complicit keeping yourself stuck? Well, tonight I have with me Samantha Sage, one of the Sacred Sunday Priestesses. She's going to join me again this month to help me bring this sacred salon to you. And if all goes well, I think we're going to have Flash Silver Moon's Astro Flash and learn what the cosmic forces have in store for us all this month of July. I hear it's supposed to be about exposing what's been hidden. Now I'm waiting for Flash to call in. She's usually here by now, so I hope something hasn't happened. Hope she'll be calling in soon. But in the meantime, I want to remind you that if you'd like to call in and talk to Flash or me or Sam, the call-in number is 718-766-4662. To tune in, you can click on the blogtalkradio.com/voices-of-the-sacred-feminine link. You can catch the weekly show live at 6 p.m. Pacific or later from the archives, and the shows can be heard via iTunes. And if you don't want to rely on getting reminder emails, please click on the follow button and get automatic weekly updates of guests on Voices of the Sacred Feminine. And remember, the show is looking for a sponsor and greatly accepts contributions to keep it on the air. As the host, I pay for the airtime to give my guests a platform to share their insight and wisdom with you, my wonderful listeners. And I love your feedback, too, and your show ideas. Right now, one of you listeners asked me to find someone who could talk about how one might use the divine feminine in recovery from addiction, and I'm working on that. And so please keep your ideas and your comments coming, your gas in my tank. I love hearing how the show is making a difference in your life. Also, I finally, believe it or not, started a Facebook page for my two books, Walking an Ancient Path, Rebirthing Goddess on Planet Earth, and Sacred Places of Goddess, 108 Destinations. I hope you'll go look for them and like them when you're there. And make sure you look at the pictures of sacred sites and goddesses I've posted. And keep me in mind, I'm actually trying to sell out my Sacred Places of Goddess, 108 Destination book. I can't wait for my publisher to sell out the stock he has. So if you need a special gift for yourself or for a loved one, I hope maybe you'll consider it. Also, I thought it might be a good time to remind you that our show here has a couple mottos that I always like to remind listeners of. The first is from the 19th century German philosopher, author Schopenhauer, and his quote goes like this: first, it's ridiculed, second, it's violently opposed, and third, it is accepted for being self-evident. Or the one from Gandhi: first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you, then you win. Well, that's how I feel like the sacred feminine is being birthed in the world, because adversaries of the sacred feminine tried to sweep away awareness and knowledge of her for all time. And with that sweeping away, when the great she was made to disappear because the religion of patriarchy, of selfish and disconnected men and their war gods, well, women and their power, their leadership, their spiritual authority were thwarted, repressed, became taboo. They were diminished, disrespected. That's why here on the show I'm dedicated to recovering the great she, whether she be deity, archetype, or ideal. Yes, we intend to defy, to taste the forbidden fruit, to be powerful and uppity women, to throw off the shackles, look under every rock and behind every locked door. We'll peer into the abyss of the past so we know why things are the way they are, how they've become so turned on their head and so unnatural. And we're going to go about setting things right. Why? Because if we want to save ourselves as a species, I think we have no other choice. If we want to restore balance, harmony, wholeness, sanity, fairness, justice, it's women with our like-minded brothers, armed with the ideas of the sacred feminine, who will set things back on course. Well, I want to say hello to Sam. I see she's on the switchboard here. Hey, Sam.
Good evening, Karen. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for joining me tonight to
Thank you for having me. This is exciting.
Well, you did great last month, and it's so much fun to have you here with me. I don't know what happened to Flash tonight, so I think we're probably going to just skip our Astro Flash, or if she does call in late, we'll just plug her in after we do our Sacred Salon. So,
no worries. I hope that she's okay wherever she is.
Well, she's in Florida. I don't know if they're some of the folks that are having those power outages or not. So we'll see. It'll all be fine, I'm sure.
We wish her well.
Yes, absolutely. So anyway, what I thought we would do is just get going here with our Sacred Salon, and I want to say to you first that we do these every month, and we believe that they're important because it sort of gives us an opportunity to carve out some sacred space. And let's start by getting ourselves comfortable in our sacred space here on the airwaves with you, my dear listeners. Find that comfortable spot and just sort of relax and take a few deep breaths and sort of breathe and ground yourself. You probably had a chaotic day yesterday, although I'm sure it was probably a lot of fun. And it was probably busy back at work today, and so just sort of shake that all off and shift gears, let the outside world fall away as we create our sanctuary, our sacred space, our sacred salon here on the airwaves, as we create our temple of divine grace and blessing. Well, that was supposed to be a... There we go. May your mind be clear. May your heart be pure. May your body be strong. There is no one way. We repeat that. We remind ourselves because it is vital in today's world. There is no one way to embrace, engage, and acknowledge the divine in our daily lives. We gather for our sacred salon to nourish our souls, to come together in community to uplift our spirits. We use these moments in time from our busy lives to help that connection with deity to manifest, to bring alive the memory of the teachings of the past and continue benefiting from this now and in our future. We encourage you to seek out your own best path to the divine. Remember that it's always both within and outside ourselves. It surrounds and permeates us. We are never alone. Besides reclaiming the knowledge and wisdom of our ancient ones, we also should remind ourselves of these values and how they pertain to our current reality. Even the most experienced of us have things yet to learn. We invite you to join us as we share our experiences to help you facilitate your own journey. Sacred salons are provided to offer a safe place we can look forward to each month to carve out sacred space for ourselves, and maybe you're there with your family and friends listening on the airwaves. It's a niche where you can be with like-minded community to seek out the divine within and to strengthen that connection with deity. Here we try to provide an environment to slip out of our commercialized corporate culture and slip into our vision of a goddess-centered world using poetry, mythology, ritual, folk, and mystery traditions. When you're here with us each month, we ask that you feel free to open yourself to new ideas and feelings. Be prepared to find your creativity, your wildness, your wisdom. We try here, as we do, to strive for balance, peace, harmony, and love. So we honor the sacred feminine as primary, sometimes complemented by the divine masculine. Our services are open to people of all faiths, traditions, spiritual backgrounds. We seek to embrace the diversity, to cherry-pick the best ideas, to soak in the universal truths. We strive to be aware, to appreciate, and to attune ourselves with the divine force, our cosmic mother, she of 10,000 names, by taking time out to celebrate nature and the changing seasons, by honoring the external cycles and changes, we are guided to more graciously accept our own cycles and changes within and find a greater sense of harmony and balance in ourselves and our environment. From this balance comes a sense of continuity in life and wholeness in ourselves. We feel the interconnection. We are part of the web, a strand in the great tapestry of life birthed by the great She. So let us together create our sacred space. Let us revel in our liberation, our freedom, our inspiration and ability to vision, to dream, to create, to be who we are called to be by our Great Mother. Because remember, if we can vision it, we can create it. I don't know if you've been tuning in every month. You might be familiar now with our opening blessing and invocation. And the response here, if you'd like to say it to yourself or say it out loud, is "We have forgotten who we are." This comes from the United Nations website. We have forgotten who we are. We have alienated ourselves from the unfolding of the cosmos. We have become estranged from the movements of the earth. We have turned our back on the cycles of life. We have forgotten who we are. We have sought only our own security. We have exploited simply for our own ends. We have distorted our knowledge. We have abused our power. We have forgotten who we are. Now the land is barren and the waters are poisoned and the air is polluted. We have forgotten who we are. Now the forests are dying and the creatures are disappearing and the humans are despairing. We have forgotten who we are. We ask forgiveness. We ask for the gift of remembering. We ask for the strength to change. Now, imagine in your mind's eye, or perhaps you actually have three candles in front of you. Imagine in your mind's eye that there are three candles before you on your altar. And let us either literally light that candle that sits before you or do it in your mind's eye. Let's light the first candle. That's our concept candle. We light this concept candle today in honor of our liberation, our freedom to be free. Let's turn our attention to the second candle. It's our divinity candle. And we light the second candle to pay tribute to the goddesses that we are going to highlight in our sacred salon tonight. Those goddesses are Lady Liberty, Lady Freedom, and Themis. And now our third candle, the perpetuation candle. Like the heart of the mothers we honor today, may we go forward learning freedom, from the shackles of patriarchal dogma, freedom from that which no longer serves us, liberated to think, dream, vision, and create a world that honors ourselves and the values and ideals of our Great Mother. Let us go forward free to be what we are and to become what we are capable of becoming. It is our gift to ourselves and to you, Divine Mother. Goddess, make us strong in spirit, courageous in action, gentle of heart. Let us act in wisdom, conquer our fear and doubt, and discover our own hidden gifts. Teach us to meet others with compassion, be a source of healing energies, and face each day with strength, tenacity, hope, and joy. And Our Lady Prayer. The earth is my mother, I shall not want. Her hand brings forth the green pastures. She leads me to fields of fruitfulness and creativity. Yea, as I walk through the seasons of life unto death, I will not be afraid, for she is with me. Her womb is the earth which enfolds me. She prepares harvests before me. She fills me with milk and honey, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and beauty will nurture me all the days of my life, and I will become part of you, Great Mother, forever. Let us remember we are each a part of the divine. We are each a part of the cosmos. We affect each other and the world around us, and with that comes a great responsibility. Let us pray that we may at all times keep our minds open to new ideas and shun dogma, that we may grow into our understanding of the nature of all living beings and our connectedness with the natural world, that we may become ever more filled with generosity of spirit and true compassion and love for all life. We pray that all of humanity one day feel the pulse of Mother Earth in their feet as they tread, and that humankind find the faith to believe in the messages carried by their dreams and see beyond the visible world. Lord Byron wrote, "There is music in the sighing of a reed, there is music in the gushing of a rill, there is music in all things, if we only had ears. This earth is but an echo of the spheres." We are but a microcosm of the macrocosm. We reflect and echo the harmonies of the music of the spheres. We are but one human family as time and distance dims. We are part of the continuum, if only we would listen closely enough to hear it. Well, I think I'm going to turn things over to Sam now. She has a message for you about freedom and liberation.
Thank you, Karen. I know everybody gets all excited about the 4th of July, and for me it became really sacred one year, and my own personal freedoms and my own path to spiritual independence kind of inspired me to write what I wrote, so I'm just going to kind of share the path that I went through here, if that's okay. I think that one of the greatest things to spark the radiance and pride for this country and what emanates within us is our freedom and the constant efforts to maintain it. We are all in the afterglow of the 4th of July and celebrating our country's freedom, but now that all that celebrating is over, let's talk about a new day for independence for you and our own personal freedom. This month, as Karen has asked us these questions, think about them. Have you freed yourself from the shackles to live your authentic life? Do you recognize your chains, especially if you're a woman, or follow unpopular or unaccepted beliefs? Are you actively working to free yourself, or have you thrown away the keys to your ball and chain in order to settle and keep yourself stuck? These are huge and very weighty questions. We invite you to ask of yourself this important question. How can you, and do you, evaluate your personal freedom right now along the path to spiritual awareness, spiritual independence, and personal liberty? Yesterday, we unconsciously got out our little flags, had the traditional barbecue, maybe with our family, and watched the fireworks. And that old song sometimes comes into our head about our flag, Forever in peace may you wave. You're the emblem of the land we love, the home of the free and the brave. But do you ever consider that we are in the land of the free because of the brave? And the brave are not just those out there in the war zones fighting for our country. The brave are right here at home as well, and within you. We are all warriors for freedom, and we all must seek it, achieve it, and live it. Some do it on the battlefield, and some must do it within their heart. I think it's really necessary to talk about how important it is to have the personal courage to pursue freedom, and that freedom needs to start within the self. Later, Karen is going to talk about some wonderful goddesses today who represent freedom, Lady Liberty, Lady Justice, and Themis. If you've ever been to a courthouse, have you noticed the female bronze statue in the front, overhead, on the roof? She is blindfolded, sometimes holding a sword in one hand and scales in the other. This is the goddess Themis. She is blindfolded to weigh the evidence objectively. In other words, to arrive at truth, the truth. There can be no previous bias or prejudice. We really should not come to any judgments about anyone without evidence. And we certainly do not want people to judge us without knowing the facts. All too often, we all jump to conclusions about people, or their appearance, or their politics, or religion, or lifestyle, without really getting to know them or walking in their shoes. And yet, those of us who may pursue controversial and alternative paths want others to accept us as we are. But we cannot be hypocrites. The one thing we can do is stay grounded in our truth, and yet be able to transcend and rise above those who don't want to try and understand us, even though they may not want to show us the same courtesy. There is a saying that the state of freedom isn't just one of these United States. Freedom is in the state of mind, and it is a full-time occupation. Even Thoreau, while he was in prison, said this: "You may take away my independence, but you can never take away my freedom while I am in this prison cell, because I have the freedom to think however I please." 25 years ago, I married for the first time. The man I married agreed to honor my spirituality and said he would accept my choices. And 2 months into the marriage, I realized that was all a lie. I was torn between being a new bride and living what I thought would be a happy new life, or facing a future that would not allow me to have my spiritual independence. As hard as it was, and of course other factors worked into the mix, I made the decision to end it all in 6 months. I made the choice of living the life I needed to live, despite the hardships, in order to be free of a life of lies and spiritual oppression and ridicule. During those few months, freedom was all I could think about, but I had to be true to myself. And the only way I survived it, day to day until it was all over, was to believe in my heart and in my mind, I will be free. I have never regretted that decision, and I don't to this day. In 1988, I had to spend a year in Japan for work. After a few months there, I was amazed at how far behind the times Japan was as far as women were concerned. Yes, Japan gave us wonderful technology, but the women there were still very far from being free. To be considered a good and proper woman in Japanese society then, women still had to be obedient to their husbands, subservient in public, wear confining kimonos, serve tea at business meetings, and never speak up with an opinion or question authority. At the job I was in, the women who worked as the interpreters and actually wore pants were considered immoral and not to be respected, if you can believe it. Needless to say, when I finally got home and landed in New York, I kissed the ground and bought a flag. I had a whole new appreciation for America and the freedom that we do have, not only as women, but the ability to worship and work as we choose. On my first day off in New York, I made a trip to see the Statue of Liberty. As I rode the ferry out into the harbor and saw Lady Liberty get closer and more beautiful, I said a prayer of thanks that I was an American. And when I walked up all of those steps to stand in her crown and view New York City from such a beautiful perspective, it was just a magical moment. I was glad for the experience abroad, but really happy to be home. Do any of you ever really think about the freedoms you have? How about being a woman at this time in history? Being in this country at this time in history? Being in this country at all, and having the freedoms that we do, to live and to think freely. Having the ability, yes, and the responsibility and duty to vote. Having the ability to worship in the place of your choice. Do we ever consider all of that as we sit down to the barbecue and watch the fireworks? Well, maybe we should next time Independence Day rolls around and say a little thank you for where you are. Okay, yes, there are still many areas in the arenas of politics and religion and lifestyle choices that need work, but we have the potential to fix all of it. Those of us who choose to come out of the broom closet or worship goddess do not get burned at the stake anymore. Ancient wisdom is making a comeback. Just watch the History Channel. Whether you realize it or not, spiritual independence and the freedom to pursue it and worship as you wish is huge. And it takes a lot of personal work. But you can make today a new day of independence for yourself. Even with all of our freedoms, there's always going to be things to overcome and deal with. The ability to seek and find one's path, live it, own it, and walk it, it's no easy task. It's not something that one can just decide they are going to do, change their world, and start believing a new way and living a new life. No, in order to be truly able to achieve such a goal, there are certain requirements that must be met. Just think of our ancestors who came over here from Europe and many other countries just so that they could avoid oppressive dogma, seek the ability to choose their own interpretation of spirituality, and in so doing, they left behind what was safe and predictable to embrace a promise. They dared to walk away from all that they knew, with a faith that there was something better, freedom. If they can do it, we can do it, you can do it. But in order for them to be free too, they had to be free from. We often don't realize that. Freedom just doesn't come. Each detail must be thought through. You cannot be free to become an independent young person until you are free from your parents. You cannot be free to live a single life until you are free from an abusive relationship. You cannot be free to be spiritually independent until you are free from the traps, the dogma, and conformity, both within you and the community in which you live. All of these choices involve risk. If you leave your parents, you must be prepared to be independent. If you leave a bad relationship, you must also be prepared financially to move on and have some support ready to help you along the way. If you leave your country, your possessions, your friends, and your family to pursue spiritual independence, you better be ready for the unknown, the adjustment, and what it will cost you. But when you consider that the payoff of freedom is so wonderful, it's always worth the cost. Daring to step away and defy one's family, society, and religion in order to seek and achieve one's personal essence is, or should be, a basic human right. It is in this country. I did it. It was hard, but I have no regrets. Every person deserves the right and freedom to develop and grow without restriction. But even though freedom is the right of everyone in this country, freedom is not always free. It requires opportunity, courage, and boldness. Abraham Maslow was a psychologist who specialized in the self-actualization principle. He maintained that in order for a person to be able to achieve true self-awareness and understanding, the following requirements had to be met. Physiological needs, you have to be in good health. Safety and security, you have to have a nice place to live and feel safe and secure. You have to have financial stability. There needs to be love and belonging in your relationships with family or friends, affectionate relationships with your children and your community, self-esteem needs, achieving self-respect, confidence, competence, independence, and appreciation for others. All of these things, they really need to be met before you have the time, the desire, and the motivation to sit down and pursue such demanding issues as self-actualization and spiritual independence are going to require. How can a single mother who has 3 kids, 2 jobs, who must come home, make dinner, do laundry, help with homework, pay bills, figure out how to pay for braces without health insurance, how to find time for her own checkup, and who has no time for a date or even for her friends, possibly find the time to read and think and challenge her upbringing or religion? Her needs are not being met because she is seen to the needs of everyone else, but it can be done. Those of us who are listening tonight really need to appreciate the fact that we are even able to have this radio show to express these ideas. That's another freedom. Some of us have most of our needs met, and some of us are still working on it. But we are able to find enough time and desire to follow a path to spiritual independence. Let's appreciate that. So many people in this world don't have it. And there will be issues to overcome. There will be bad politicians. And there will always be the tyranny of the majority. Absolute, pure freedoms? No, we don't quite have them. Justice? Most of the time. But the potential to pursue more personal freedoms and spiritual independence than any other country? That we have. So let's remember that, appreciate it, and aim for our highest personal and national potential, especially on the 4th of July. Blessed be.
Thank you, Sam. Lots of food for thought there. Lots of food for thought. Well, with the 4th of July just yesterday and our theme today being freedom, liberty, justice, I thought it might be interesting to show how such virtues and ideas have long been identified as goddess or in the female with a capital F. So let's first go back and take a look at the Greek goddess Themis, who was closely associated with Gaia herself. Now, I want to preface what I'm going to tell you about Themis by reminding you, and some of you may already know this, you know, you've come to these realizations in your spiritual path, that, you know, goddess isn't always a deity residing in the heavens. That's why you'll hear me talk about goddess as deity archetype and ideal. You know, you can usually examine goddesses as physically, as intellectually, emotionally, spiritually, rather than take deities as literal personifications. Well, gods and goddesses were sometimes ideas or concepts or cosmic forces or principles. For instance, this might be a little bit hard to wrap your mind around, but you know, sometimes in those ancient stories or myths, you know, you would hear about a goddess being assaulted or raped by a god. Well, you can thank Christian translations for that, because actually what the Greeks often were trying to explain to people was what was actually happening was not really a sexual assault, but two forces coming together to create another force. Interesting, isn't it? Or I recently learned myself at the Aphrodite exhibit here in Malibu. She's a wonderful exhibit here on loan. If you're local to Southern California, you should see it before it leaves at the end of August. Aphrodite was actually considered a goddess of persuasion. So magistrates and civil servants and politicians, well, they revered her because she represented the idea of persuasion. So with Themis, yes, she was looked at as the daughter of Gaia and Uranus, the Earth Mother and the Ancient of Days. She's one of the few Titans who actually survived in full power in the Olympian era of the rule of Zeus. But the Greeks saw her as the embodiment of the concept of connectedness. She represents the abstract principle of absolute justice, law, or adjustment. To the Hindus, this is known as the law of karma. To the psychotherapists, it means natural consequences. Jane Ellen Harrison, in her work on Themis, well, she traces Themis back to her history as a matriarchal tribal goddess. She originally represented an organizing function. For this reason, she remained a trusted counselor to Zeus. He sought her opinions in matters of decisions before, during, and after their marriage, before the arrival of Hera. And their union is said to have produced the three fates, among others, as their offspring. The fates spin, weave, and cut the thread of life. Also the Horae, or the right moment or right order unfolding in time. Themis is inevitably strongly linked with her mother Gaia. As a variation on the theme of the Great Mother, Themis represented the earth goddess of unshakable power because she is the absolute law. The undeviating patterns of Themis keep even the gods themselves within certain boundaries. So Themis, she is the law of the universe. And when Themis is disregarded, well, then Nemesis steps up. She brings just and wrathful retribution. Themis is not wrathful. She of the lovely cheeks, as she was called, was actually the first to offer Hera a cup when she returned to Olympus, distraught over threats from Zeus. Themis presided over the proper relations between man and women and the basis of the rightly ordered family. And the family, the pillar of the dem, the judges were often referred to as the Themistopoli, the Mystopoli, the servants of Themis. Such was the basis for order upon Olympus too. And Hera even called her Lady Themis. Well, there's a lot you can read about Themis, and I would encourage you to, because you can read about her physical form, her intellectual makeup, what she represents emotionally, physically. Some interesting things about her would be occupations associated with Themis. You might be an attorney or a councilman, a detective, an ecologist, a judge, a juror, a librarian, a paralegal, a referee, or a senator. Key words associated with Themis would be adjustment, judgment, amnesty, fair trade, ecology, reincarnation, integrity, proportion, verdict, lawsuit. Some cultural counterparts of Themis are the Egyptian Ma'at, or, as I said before, karma to the Hindus. And some contemporary examples of Themis. Well, the modern Themis sat on the U.S. Supreme Court. That was Sandra Day O'Connor. And she was very instrumental there on the court, if you are interested in Sandra Day O'Connor's history there. Pythagoras held up the ideals of balance and harmony, and his golden verses contain the admonishment, quote, "Carefully consider before you act. You may not be able to retract. Understand well all that you do, and you will have no cause to rue," unquote. That, you know, those words sort of reflect Themis. And finally, Themis and neo-paganism. Well, many modern neo-pagans, particular Hellenistic neo-pagans, believe that Themis is the goddess of virtue and justice. In many modern sects, Themis is thought to take part in deciding the afterlife of one's mortal spirit. She carries a set of scales which weigh a person's virtuous deeds against a person's ill deeds. And she's also thought to give the final input before the fate of a mortal is decided, both before Hades, the judge. She's often considered compassionate and virtuous towards mortals and concerned with mortal well-being as well as mortal plights. Worship of Themis is not uncommon among many pagan sects in the United States. According to some pagan websites, Themis may have as many worshipers as Artemis or Hera, which are two of the most popular pagan gods. Worshippers of Themis often attempt to lead virtuous and charitable lives. And her worship may take the form of chants, prayer, burning of oils and incense, and the burning of food or the spilling of drinks as offerings. Acts of charity are also considered to be an active form of worship. Some sects that include worship of Themis encourage tithing, and many encourage proselytizing to non-believers. Proselytizing is typically rare among sects that do not worship Themis. And followers of Themis often discourage hedonism, persecution, grudges, malice, spite, mockery, and revenge. Finally, Themis is thought to grant boons of good health, euphoria, virility, and charisma to her followers. Some pagan websites suggest that Themis is most commonly worshipped by males. I don't know. I'm not so sure about that. I think she would be awfully attractive to women as well. And the next goddess I want to tell you about who is important at this time of year is Lady Liberty from New York. Now, if you have my book, Sacred Places of Goddess, 108 Destinations, her Statue of Liberty in New York is actually one of those 108 destinations I wrote about. Whether holding her torch at the gateway to freedom or wrapped in her pink slip of activism, Lady Liberty is the political goddess of the oppressed. Towering over the water, gateway to New York City for more than a century, the Statue of Liberty is the first object millions of immigrants saw as they came to this new land, the melting pot of the world, seeking freedom and opportunity. But this is not where Lady Liberty was born. In a sense, she too immigrated to the United States. Lady Liberty, or Libertas as she's called, has her origins in ancient Rome, where as an embodiment of freedom, she was deified with other virtues the Romans felt should be upheld as reverent. According to teacher and scholar Selena Fox, the Romans deified freedom along with hope, justice, piety, and courage, virtues they believed warranted divine status. In Rome, the goddess of freedom was closely associated with another goddess by the name of Feronia, an agricultural and fire goddess among the Etruscans. Other times, she might have been associated with the Roman god Jupiter, and her temple was on the Aventine Hill in Rome. Since Libertas's birth more than 2,000 years ago, she's been the symbol or rallying point for many in their quest for independence, freedom, and social justice. For some, it's not always enough to simply pray. Often there's more to be done to secure peace and justice. Throughout history, people come together within the embrace of her imagery to fight for a living wage, decent working conditions, personal freedoms, adequate funding or for social reforms, honest representation in government, or to seek fairness and justice. In these worthy causes, it's common for her symbols and virtues to be invoked. Selena Fox reports that in Rome, when a slave was freed, this life passage was marked with a ritual using symbols associated with Libertas. namely a cap and a rod. Lady Liberty was a symbol during the Revolutionary War between the United States and Great Britain, and her image was adopted by the French Republic during its own revolution. After all, she was a gift from France to the United States. Dedicated in 1886, suffragettes circled Lady Libertas in boats, demanding over megaphones that women be given the right to vote. In 1984, the United Nations designated the statue a World Heritage Site. Then in 1989, demonstrators in Beijing, China, raised a 33-foot styrofoam image in Tiananmen Square as they rallied for democracy in their own country. The Statue of Liberty, one of the sacred sites in North America which personifies the goddess as political, has been called upon in increasing fashion by citizens and politicians within the U.S. as liberties and freedoms seem threatened. In 1993, former Vice President Al Gore positively cited in his book detailing environmental concerns the goddess and her worship as an example of, quote, the fount of all life who radiated harmony among all living things, unquote. The Divine Feminine continued to be called upon in various ways to lend her powerful image toward democracy and freedom. In an unprecedented act, the personified virtues of Goddess and Libertas conjoined were referred to by United States Democratic Congressman Dennis Kucinich in his formal announcement speech for the Office of the Presidency of the United States in 2003. Kucinich stated, quote, "I am running for President of the United States to enable the Goddess of Peace to encircle within her reach all the children of this country and all the children of the world. And we would protect our children from poverty and war, to hold them in the light of grace and to hold them in the power of peace. I am running for President of the United States to challenge the system which traps so many Americans, children, and adults in fear and violence and poverty and makes us pay for wars we don't want and causes us to sacrifice our children's future," unquote. France gifted Lady Libertas to New York City in honor of America's 100th birthday. A smaller version of Libertas, or Marianne as her image was called by the French, rests today on the island in the Seine River near Paris. Symbols on the American statue include a crown of solar rays, each representing the seven continents and seven seas, and a torch representing freedom. Beneath her feet are broken chains representing the overcoming of enslavement. She holds a tablet inscribed with her feast day, July 4th, commemorating the signing of the Declaration of Independence, and she wears a flowing robe as she did in her earliest representations in Rome. The goddess of freedom, like the great mother goddess, opens her arms to humanity's children. Here in her embrace, she offers rest if one's weary, locates warmth when one's cold, or finds strength when one is oppressed. Libertas at her sacred site in New York Harbor represents guidance, inspiration, protection, comfort, and above all, liberation in all its forms, social, religious, and political. She embodies many of the attributes of the divine feminine, and she is invoked by dedicants when there is oppression or tyranny to thwart, and when a call for activism, courage, and justice is warranted. I bet now when you see Lady Libertas, when you see the Statue of Liberty, maybe you'll think about her just a little bit different, because right there in New York Harbor, there sits our political goddess. And finally, there is Lady Freedom, who is the crowning feature on the U.S. Capitol Dome, erected in 1863 during the Civil War under the presidency of Abraham Lincoln. She stands a magnificent 19 feet 6 inches tall, weighing 14,000 pounds, with her eagle-feathered headdress rising 288 feet above the East Front Plaza. The Bronze Lady stands upon an iron globe inscribed with our nation's motto, E Pluribus Unum, out of many, one. Certainly an idea that reflects the values of interconnection within goddess spirituality, perhaps even the idea that the many diverse faces of goddess are the one. Finally, Lady Freedom She combines our native and Euro-American roots. Her strength and beauty are meant to inspire Americans and all world citizens. And what we see in her statue is actually the third version that was commissioned, which is a fusion of the allegorical imagery of Liberty, Minerva, and America. It's uniquely American eagle headdress represented by the native tribes of the land, symbolizing the connection between heaven and earth. She's armed with a Roman helmet with stars, a sword and shield holding a wreath. The circle of stars on her forehead expresses her heavenly origins and her role as a protectress of the American world. Just as so many goddesses wore upon their heads a polos or city wall, which meant they were the protectress of a city. She was meant to reflect a glowing, exultant, almost defiant patriotism, looking forth in the pride of her beauty and strength. And I think it's worth mentioning that in 1890, the architect of the Capitol stated the statue does not represent the goddess of liberty or freedom, as she'd been referred to for years, but her right name is actually America. Now, I wanted to tell you that because that reminds us that of the 250 years, the use of the name America was a woman before Uncle Sam became the man. We all saw it personified the symbol of the United States. So before Uncle Sam, America was represented as a female, as a woman. So to conclude, I guess I'd like to punctuate the idea that I put forth out there sometimes and that I try to share and teach. We have so many wonderful deities, archetypes, virtues, ideals, all found in the feminine that show us the way, that teach and provide us a template for living, if we would only look, listen, and embrace them as we move forward. So again, as I've said about the Statue of Liberty in New York Harbor, whenever we see Lady Liberty on the top of the dome there on the Capitol building, sometimes people refer to her as Columbia. Well, think goddess. There's actually so many images of goddess right around that little area, whether we're talking about the Supreme Court building, whether we're talking about the Capitol Dome, the Library of Congress, especially as like a temple to the sacred feminine. You can go on the internet and look it up. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. So those are our three goddesses for today. And I'm going to turn things back over to Sam because she's going to lead you in a guided meditation now about freedom. Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Karen. Such interesting, good stuff about those women goddesses. Wow. I love to do the research and hear you talk about it. When we do this meditation, I'd like to take you on a journey that was personal for me and kind of gave me a couple of breakthroughs in my own personal freedom and awareness. So I'd like everybody to just take a breath and breathe in, breathe out, put your feet on the floor, get comfortable, think of the wonderful time you had yesterday, have a beautiful image of the fireworks in the sky, take a moment to breathe, and ponder freedom, and ponder liberty, and ponder justice. And the goddesses that Karen has just shared with us. Close your eyes. Breathe. Take a moment to think about this country and what you love about it. Say a little thank you in your heart for this land we live in. Say a little prayer of appreciation to those from our history who were so daring and so brave to step away from all that they knew to take a chance in a strange new world for the promise of freedom. Maybe you have some relatives who came right to Ellis Island from the old homeland. Say thank you to them for that journey that they took. Say a thank you to all of those who have served this country and continue to serve and protect our freedoms. Breathe some more. Deep in breath, deep out breath. Now think of the three most sacred freedoms you have in your life. Is it the ability to be a free person? How about being a free thinker? Is it the ability to worship as you wish? Or the freedom to speak your mind? How about having self-ownership of your life? The right to marry whom you choose. Many people in many countries do not have even that. Now think of your life right now and think about the freedoms you wish you had. Think of that freedom to do something that would really empower you. And now consider what you might need to be free from to do that. Another breath and relax. And as you think of your desired freedom, imagine yourself near the harbor in New York City. You're standing in line, waiting to get on the ferry for the Statue of Liberty. You finally get your ticket, and you board the boat. The ride will take a while, so you take some time to think as you watch the boat splashing over the waves. As you look ahead, you see Lady Liberty standing tall in all her glory. As you look back, you see the dock and the past, your past, and you think of your life. Maybe something is missing. What is it? Does something make you feel enslaved or unempowered? Is something out of balance? Is something or someone making you feel chained? Breathe and relax and observe this reality. Know that you are taking a voyage to the Goddess of Liberty, who has inspired so many, and she can help you too. You think of the stories you have heard about all the immigrants. Perhaps some may have been in your family who came over on boats, enduring cold and difficult journeys, leaving behind their life to take a chance on freedom. They were so brave and bold. They had such courage and faith to travel so far and then step out into the unknown, into a new world. Yes, the unknown. But this unknown had promise and potential, something the old country didn't have. Ferry is getting closer to the island now. Lady Liberty is standing tall and beautiful and proud and confident. Her crown of seven rays glistens in the sun. She holds her torch strong and high. And that torch burns bright to illuminate the way for all who seek it. As you reach the island, you get off the boat and stand at the feet of the Goddess of Liberty and Freedom. She is beautiful. She stands with open arms to all humanity, whether they are from American shores or foreign shores. As you stand at her feet, you can see the broken chains of what she has overcome to inspire you to what you can overcome. This is how you want to be, standing tall and proud and confident and free of the chains that bind you and keep you stuck. Lady Liberty comes to life and looks down upon you. She gazes right into your eyes and heart. She invites you to climb the steep and many stairs up to her crown. It is a long journey, But she reminds you that the whole purpose of ascending the stairs is the lesson learned with each step. You start to climb. There sure are a lot of stairs, but you know it will be worth it. As you take each step, you are getting clearer on what binds you and keeps you from your ultimate freedom. Maybe you have been too negative. Maybe you need to define and defend your boundaries. Maybe you just need the strength to say no more. Listen to your conscience. Listen to the lady. She is lighting your way. Talk to her as you climb. Ask her to illuminate what you cannot see. Is there something you need to overcome? Do you need to forgive something or someone and let it go? Do you need to let certain people in your life go? Do you need to let a career go? Can you do this at this time? Are you willing to make a commitment to yourself or some cause that you weren't able to commit to before? Do you have the strength to make these changes? Lady Liberty says that you do have the strength to make any change you need. Finally, you reach the crown with all of its windows that look out on the harbor. But instead of seeing New York City, the lady shows you a new view. A transcendent view of your life. What you see below you is the life you can have when you overcome the chains that bind you. Look out through those windows now at your life, the life she's showing you that you can have. Visualize it. Imagine what you can see and what you can do when you have your ultimate freedom and spiritual independence. What's out there before you? What's waiting for you? What do you see? What does this look like? Take a minute and really look. To the right of her crown, there is one more set of stairs, but it seems to be closed off. However, you find a way to get up those last few steps. It's the path to the lady's torch. This is the light that has shone the way for so many and stood as a symbol of freedom in the harbor for so many years. You finish climbing the last few steps and you walk into the light of her torch. You feel warm and radiant from her glow. You feel guided, inspired, comforted, and protected. You know that there may be some difficult things to overcome, but you are inspired now and you are ready. The lady has placed the spark of confidence from her torch into your heart. And now your heart feels a glow for freedom it has not felt before. You take another moment and sigh and breathe and give thanks to the lady for what she has shown you. Oh. Now you make your way back down all those steps with a new sense of purpose. You are ready to go for your ultimate freedom. You are inspired by Lady Liberty and all those who have traveled into that harbor to find a better life. Fairy is blowing its horn. You hurry down the last few steps. It's time for you to go back. You climb onto the ferry. And you sit at the very back of the boat so that you can turn around for the last few views of Lady Liberty. And as the sun sets, you turn to look at her one more time and give thanks. You have a new purpose. You have a new freedom to attain. And you have a new confidence to get there. Soon the ferry lands, and you step back onto solid ground. Blessed be.
Well, with that, let's start to bring ourselves back. Bring ourselves back from that lovely meditation Sam's written for everyone. And our sacred salons are really a reflection of our monthly sacred Sunday services that we give at the Green Man on North Lancashire and North Hollywood. And if you're here in Southern California, we invite you to come to those if you like. They're held the fourth Sunday every month, as I said, at a store called The Green Man. They have lots of classes and activities there, and it's a wonderful home for us. It's a great store and great people who run it, and we really enjoy having our sacred Sundays there. And but for those of you who can't, this is the next best thing. We do our ritual on the radio. And what we usually do every month is we actually, as an expression of goddess, as an expression of reciprocity, we have a book giveaway. So tonight, in sort of keeping with that tradition, I'm going to give away something tonight. If you're the first one to email me after tonight's show, I will send you one of my audio CDs, one of my talks that I usually have available at book signings and things like that. So if you email me, if you're the first one and you're in the United States, if you email me and say you heard me talk about this on the show and tell me why you'd like to be the winner of one of my talks, then, you know, you just might be the one to get it. I believe Sam might actually have some affirmations for us along the lines of our theme that you can maybe think about or write down that, you know, carry with you into the weeks ahead. Sam, did you want to share those affirmations you found?
Sure. They're fun. First one was on Themis. Mighty Themis, let justice be tempered with mercy. Condemn none without evidence, and never on hearsay. The justice of Themis encourages a balanced personality rather than radical, overreactive mood swings in order to promote wise and thoughtful conclusions.
Good words to live by.
Yeah, a challenge, but good words to live by. This was written by Abraham Lincoln. Those who deny freedom to others deserve it not for themselves. This was written by Ronald Reagan. Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same.
Makes me think of the Occupy movement.
Yeah. This is written by John F. Kennedy. Conformity is the jailer of freedom and the enemy of growth. The cost of freedom is always high, but Americans have always paid it. And one path we shall never choose, that is the path of surrender or submission.
Nice.
This is written by George Washington. If the freedom of speech is taken away, Then dumb and silent we may be led like sheeple to the slaughter.
Mm.
I think I made it sheeple. I think he said sheep, but I think people know what I mean when I say sheeple.
Yeah, that's a favorite word of yours and mine. We talk about sheeple often.
Okay, and this last one is written by Jim Morrison. Expose yourself to your deepest fear. After that, fear has no power, and the fear of freedom shrinks and vanishes because you are free.
Wow, very cool. Well, I'm going to do something. Thank you. Thank you for those, Sam. I like those. And interesting, there were so many of our politicians and forefathers that I had so much to say on the subject. As you can well imagine, that was paramount in their life, so to speak. Well, one thing I've never done for listeners before, but I think I'll throw it out there tonight. If you would like to think more about this idea of how you are in the world is actually a reflection of a goddess, how you might embody the attributes of a goddess. I got these from a wonderful website you can actually go look at yourself. I want to give credit to the Pantheon homepage, Pantheon homepage, and specifically the Synergetic Kabbalah homepage, and they're spelling Kabbalah, Q-A-B-A-L-A. They talk about Themis in your life, and just some food for thought. Themis is in your life. If you believe in destiny, fate, karma, and free will, if you've ever gone through a period of fatalistic thinking, then that's Themis. If you're having trouble striking a balance between optimism and pessimism or justice and retribution, well, that's Themis and Nemesis at play in your life. If there was ever a time when you've changed values or opinions 180 degrees, well, that's Themis. That's what she's about. And finally, you're embodying Themis if you can name 4 or 5 moral positions which you're committed to and you're willing to speak up for them publicly. So if you want to play these thoughts back and maybe give yourself a little bit of homework or an exercise to get more comfortable or familiar with the attributes of Themis, there's an idea for you. So I guess that will bring our sacred salon to a close, and I think we will do our bookend prayer in the beginning. We forgot who we are, and at the end, if you see, we actually remember. We say our prayer of remembering. Sam, did you want to lead us in that?
Sure.
Yeah, why don't you?
Okay. Well, for your audience, for them to say in their private home, private heart, the prayer of remembering. We rejoice in all life. We remember who we are. So after I say my spiel, then you can say that in your heart. We live in all things. All things live in us. We rejoice
in all life.
We remember who we are. We live by the sun. We move with the stars.
We rejoice in all life.
We remember who we are. We eat from the earth, we drink from the rain, we breathe from the air.
We rejoice in all life.
We remember who we are. We share with the creatures, we have strength through their gifts. We rejoice in all life. We remember who we are. We depend on the forests. We have knowledge through their secrets. We rejoice in all life. We remember who we are. We have the privilege of seeing and understanding. We have the responsibility of caring. we have the joy of celebrating. We rejoice in all life, and we remember who we are. Blessed be.
Blessed be. Well, those three candles that you have in front of you, whether they're in your mind's eye or whether they're actually sitting there on your altar in front of you, it's time now to extinguish the three flames. The first, for our theme today, of liberty. The second flame, for our goddesses. And the third flame, our perpetuation flame. Even though we extinguish the flame, we can still carry these ideas forward into the weeks ahead until our next sacred salon. We hope we've helped you begin anew today. We hope we've offered you some inspiration and guidance. And we thank you for being here and sharing sacred space with us. So please join us every month, the first Thursday usually of the month, for our sacred salon. Well, listeners, I'm going to close out tonight's show with some music. And let's see what we'll do today. How about Kali? Kali's a goddess of social justice, and that sort of fits in with our theme. This is a cut from Diva Haley's Sacred Alchemy CD, and the cut is called Kali. So good night, listeners. I hope you had a wonderful 4th of July. I hope you have a wonderful week. And until we're together again next Thursday, may Goddess embrace you in her golden wings. And here's Kali by Diva Haley. Thank you.
Durga Devi Namo Namah Shakti Kundalini.